entering the TGTC.
Are you ready for a deep dive?
And Jordan did most of the crap.
Can't believe I said that.
I've been doing this in 2008. What the f*** do I know?
Strong hands is my kryptonite.
Start loading up elbow logos.
Yeah. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the DGDC, a united team of design professionals, creatively bound to bring unique inspiration and uncommon perspectives. You can email us listener questions or topic ideas to hello@dgdcpod.com or check out our website, dgdcpod.com. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram or Twitter at dgdcpod. Plus now you can join in on the conversation. We have a Facebook group. Just pop onto our website and hit the community tab at the top. Now, on with the show. Hey guys, we are back for an episode after a little bit of a long break. We are a little bit sorry for that, but I think it was summer and everyone just had stuff going on for sure, right? But welcome back, guys. How's it going?
You too.
Feels good.
Yeah.
It does.
I think you just summed it up right there, Jordan.
Yeah, man.
Well, and we should always do, you know how you were smart and said we should designate that as this is reoccurring? Let's always make it Fridays.
Yeah.
It's the best. I have a beer waiting to be cracked. I'm finishing my cold brew. I'm like,
Guys would appreciate that, wouldn't you? We'll record on Fridays. It'll be about 4:00.
Yeah.
There's a beer in hand.
Keeping
it loose.
Each
of your hosts.
Yeah.
A little backstory. Some of your favorite episodes have all been probably be recorded under those same circumstances, right?
Yeah, definitely my favorite.
That's funny.
Yeah. How's the summer been just in general with workflow and everything else and balancing with getting out and doing fun stuff because we can?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good?
I think it's a real balancing act. I'm actually looking forward to that standardized routine of going back to school and having that regularity so that people aren't canceling meetings at the last minute because they're pulling their hair and you don't have to do the same. It's tricky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes it is nice to have like, these are my penned in things I have to do. Like this podcast at 4:00. It's like, that was nice because I could have got swept into like so many other meetings and so much just other shit. It's like, nope, I got a hard stop at 3:45 because I'm doing something else. Like,
good for you. And nice, you know what I mean? That is easier to do on a Friday, not any other
way
day.
Easier. Yeah, because people are like, I'm taking off a little early. Like, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. It gets quieter. I know.
Yeah.
It's like,
I always love having accounts that are East Coast because they shut down at 2:00.
Oh, yeah.
And I haven't heard from anybody. I love it.
Yeah. That's funny you bring up because I have two of my biggest things right now are international ones that I swore I'd never do.
Yeah,
but
dude.
It's working out great, but I love we're talking like East Europe and we're talking Australia. So like,
what?
Wow.
Oh,
I love the time change. You could send something off and and in the morning you've got all the notes and everything. And it's like, it's
fresh
that cycle,
start.
Right? Because they're, especially Australia, it's totally different.
What? Yeah. 18 ahead.
Mm-hmm. I think so. Something like that. Yeah.
That when we go over there to visit family, I'm on the other hand and doing that. And it is nice after a little while. But I'm the one that wakes up at 2 or 3, checks my phone because I haven't acclimated. I'm like seeing everything pour in, and I should never do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
But there are perks to the international. Yeah, are perks.
Some businesses even run that way with European offices, and the U.S. office can close, put everything in servers, and the other team can pick it up and it's this great cycle that as
so
people are working, you've got stuff. Or if it's just overflow, one department's busy and one's not.
Yeah.
What a great way that could work with a lot of international companies.
24-hour creative agency,
internal art departments and stuff.
Yeah, totally.
And I loved it. We used to do that with our London office at my agency. And what was neat was not only was it actually beneficial because time was being used, but they bring this refreshing kind of different approach that's so not here. Like now we're a little bit more homogenized because of just social media and everything being so everything looks the same, but I love getting an international take on certain things,
Yeah. I bet they
from
have
other
like
designers.
A hell of a handoff system. I bet they're so organized, right? Like if you're kind of sharing stuff on the server.
Yeah.
It's like been the nice thing with the agencies.
That's cool.
There's a lot of that. It's like, dude, the file organization is just So good.
Solid.
Chef's kiss, really cool. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus the accents are always fun to work with, you know?
For sure. I know. I noticed myself trying to, or it seeping into me after a little while.
Yeah.
Not on purpose, but Oakley after a while be like, Mom, are you trying a new, like he thinks I'm trying to work at it. No,
yeah.
Sorry.
It's so hard not to. You know,
it is hard not to.
Yeah, exactly.
It's contagious in a way. It's really fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you know what's odd is that they feel that way about hearing us.
Sure.
They think it's, but I can't wrap my head around that.
Yeah.
Like, they think it's boring and mundane and extremely like pronouncing every syllable? There's no flair to it, or do they find it to be kind of fascinating in the way that we find theirs?
It's mm-hmm. just different from the norm, and that's why it's the same way with us. You know.
Exactly.
But I love when someone tries to imitate. The American accent, it's just hilarious.
Always like Southern. You know what I mean? It's always immediately the drawl.
They
comes
kick
out.
Into Southern. That is so funny.
Or the total Southern California.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Surfer Valley thing. So yeah.
Oh, funny.
That's I'm fine.
Sure.
Like, representing
I can see
that.
How that'd be a go-to for the
So we've got a cool little topic we want to talk to you guys about today. And I think this is a good one. And Mikkel was like sending us some kind of cool little notes. And I love this idea. It's like, it's kind of like you think you're okay or you think you're solid, but maybe you should kind of re-look and kind of like evaluate the different circumstances we're going to talk about. Where did this come from when you were just even thinking about the overall idea?
I should have admitted to you guys at the forefront that I feel this way oftentimes when I see with subscriptions and that I have with other companies. Mm-hmm. With updates, newsletters that I see fresh in the morning, like, don't miss this, attend this, get this registration rate now, and I can be cheap, and I'm doing okay. I don't have to crazy solicit myself, so I think I can put the brakes on that for now. I don't need a refresher in that arena, or I don't need this. I don't need, and of course, would it benefit me and my business? As well as my team members that I collaborate with on a regular basis? The answer is always yes. But by and large, these areas are hard to squeeze in. This is about not just quickly assuming that you're good to go and then you don't need exposure to all of the plethora of avenues out there, online, in person, otherwise, that we can expose ourselves to for further learning, because this industry is ever changing, constantly evolving, and we do need to be on top of our toes. You can't just settle and practice the same thing day in and day out. And that's not the way that our positions are with the practices that we lead. No 2 days are ever the same. So it just goes to show, I think, that we should further our knowledge in other ways. And maybe it's not with tools. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's with marketing facets of sorts. Maybe it's with, you know, I immediately think of Adobe Max, in fact, because think about all these workshops and courses that you attend that you don't think that you might benefit from, but you always do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They leave a great mark with you.
Oh, yeah, totally. It's interesting because I look at like freelance specifically, where you kind of are an encompassing figure. And typically I do a lot of like B2B business to business. So like you kind of have to be an expert in whatever you're proposing. If it's a brand refresh, like, well, you kind of have to know a lot about like how marketing is effective and where industry they're particularly in and how you can start to shape, you know, who they are and how they represent themselves. Like it goes so much beyond just like a good logo and like, and that's the world I usually live in. So like, yeah, I have to immerse myself in that world all the time. You know, which I think is kind of unique in our positions because it's something that's always evolving.
I think everyone's feeling this. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Design marketing is like, it's always progressing.
I hope it's all relative. I hope so.
It has to. We all three connected to this so quickly.
Yeah.
Just by seeing it really, I'm talking hours ago. And to me, I think even your intro there, Mikkel, kind of gets me all excited and then gets me worried because you brought up two great points. Yes. There are those times where I don't feel like I'm taking advantage of these little nuggets that I'm seeing pop up. But then also when I am in that mode where I'm doing it, it's too much. And then it becomes like, oh man, how are you concentrating on the right thing at the right time?
Yeah,
but
true.
But I think you're right. I think the whole idea of just this eye-opening and taking advantage of a few things here that are coming your way keep you more well-rounded. And again, how many times have you had a moment with a client that you brought up something from a webinar, from a collaboration, from a new book you read that changes everything and they trust you even more?
Totally.
And you know what? I think all three of us have mentioned this in other shows prior to showcase scenarios or case study framework to an extent, which is working with other digital strategy groups where the client is already engaged and has established a relationship. And then they say, meet Jordan. He is our brand visual designer. Meet Nick. He does all of our packaging. We're really looking forward to this collaboration. Well, if it weren't for those meetings and that collab altogether, would your eyes or every weekly or monthly work relationship be exposed to these nuances of process, big time process is what I wanted to hit on here with this. I it's been years since I've been at an internal creative agency. So not only have I forgotten, but there's a different way to go about with new platforms and such that I've learned from these other agencies that MKM is collaborating with now. Mm-hmm. So not all of us have that advantage and benefit to have those marriages based on the client having these established relationships and saying, so-and-so meet so-and-so.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. But in the event that that does not happen for you as a independent practice, how do you open the doors to make yourself readily available and exposed to all of these areas of education out there to keep your practice and your consultant expertise alive
and fresh.
Thriving
and all that? Yeah, thriving is the best word. Have you guys had a moment in that situation that has you can call out that maybe you gained something through that, just through that natural connection with working with a bigger agency or a client that had a process or something unique, or even an individual that made you go like, wow, I'm going to take that in and use that as part of my, you know, my day to day and improve myself. Any good examples?
I mean, I get that stuff every day because I do a lot of contracting with three agencies.
Can you tell? Can you remind us what you your relationship is again?
Yeah, so I'm an art director with an agency here in Portland, and they do like they have some pretty nice accounts where like there's a lot of team members. Like they do everything for Xbox and EA and like lots of video game stuff, lots of electronic stuff. And it was a world I never lived in. Like I come from like branding and a lot of like, you know, food, beverage, packaging.
Yeah.
And so like, it's fun to like get into the world of like video games and tech.
Sure.
But like, I think like ultimately like beyond like the file structuring and all these things, like how you communicate is huge. I think how they put together pitch decks has totally revamped how I do the same thing. And also like confidence in like how I can approach pricing has helped a lot just from like, oh shit, they feel comfortable adding this. Obviously as a freelancer, like I'm not coming at a team. They're not going to get the hand holding like you might get with like your account manager and all these people that, you know, but copywriter, huge.
Oh,
like seeing how they can sell that value. Cause I've always wanted to get into it, but it's hard because like, I like doing it, but it's a whole different process. I didn't realize like they take the time if they can find the clients who can budget that, like, and sell that value. Dude, a copywriter is the best thing in the world. It's the best thing in the world.
The storytelling it all starts component there. Is amazing.
Yeah. How many times have you heard that at a seminar where it's like great design starts with the, you know, great copy or great creative
I think
direction.
People think like copywriting is like, right? I create the paragraphs and the voice and tone. It's like, no. Like they're there at day one to talk about the whole thing.
Interesting.
Yes. How do you want to be perceived? Okay, this is how we're going to do that. And they can influence everything from, you know, again, the voice and tone certainly, but also like what the logo looks like and what it's trying to relay and what information like. A good copywriter, in my opinion, is just like, I think they're at the top of just like creative direction in a different way. Like a lot of the like philosophy. Yeah. It's great.
It really stops you and go like, because I think you're a fantastic copywriter as a designer, Jordan, right? And I've always strived to get in that those little nuggets in there that I could do. And you think, yeah, I can write a tagline. I can do this. You bring in a copywriter and you're like, okay, I'm just gonna take the seat in the very back of this auditorium. Because like it's magic in these words.
Or even the way that they conduct their interviews.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To start drafting themselves.
Yeah.
So great.
Oh yeah. And we've always been those advocates.
Yeah.
Bringing them into, hey, if Jordan, you've got a great copywriter and you're going to bring him into your client now goes, wow, Jordan was our connection.
Yep.
Love that.
Connections kind of.
That's so cool.
Everything, right? Even big agencies, like there's not a single agency I've ever met that uses only internal people. They contract out for most things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have the core group, but like ultimately, like they're always bringing in illustrators because they have a particular style or, you know, different copywriters or like marketing strategists. So like, it's kind of like, it's a nice thing to see. Like it is really collaborative and they're always kind of bringing stuff in.
Yeah. But
yeah, it's just figuring out like the processes. Cause again, that's I look cool. at like the agency, they have the capital, they have the overhead, so they can take the client and really like give them, I quote unquote, like first class. Like this is your account manager. Like this is who she's going to be there for every stitch of the way. Like she's going to be, you know, your advocate within our group. Like it's kind of cool. But like bringing in the copywriter from day one, like that's changed my process of like, okay, now we're talking about a branding, you know, if I'm freelance myself, freelance Jordan, branding a new client, like that's going to be a big chunk. And we're going to start about copywriting, like as soon as we start talking about like those early kickoff questions and like bringing that really into the fold. Whereas maybe I would lean into it like after we figured out the vision and the mission, all these things like, okay, now we need a tagline. But it's like, oh, no, no, copywriting is like who you are. The encompassing of it is cool.
That's great.
That's so cool.
Yeah. What about you, Mikkel? Any takeaways that you remember that made a difference?
Yes. So there's this SaaS platform account out in Michigan that we've been supporting for quite some time. And they have hired long time ago a digital marketing strategy group for lead gen. And that's not my expertise area. So the collab is I prepare all visual assets and my team members do, and we hand off to them and they prepare all of the lead gen exercises, knowing what to double down on with given any analysis in between. Mm-hmm. And they have all the tools to make it boom. So it's cool to learn from them and to understand with split testing what visual design to provide next, given their reporting. I really, really love it. Mm-hmm. And I've never had that under my belt before. Mm-hmm. Close collab rate.
Totally.
How about you, Nick? Do you have a scenario that you can?
I'm going more in on individual and someone that maybe I had a CEO of a company that I was working with that their leadership just blew me away in every conversation, every meeting. Mm. How prepared they came, how it was everything I was trying to be better at when it was like dealing with multi-level people in one call or one thing to when you need to show authority, when you need to be open to collaboration, when you have to lay the law down and all. And it was really an interesting experience. And in one way, I loved it because it was the most powerful presence with the most soft and non-aggressive tone.
Interesting.
And you don't think that could happen. I think we have these characteristics that the leader has got to be, you know, the barking, you know, whatever. And I loved it because it reminded me a lot.
What a great approach.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I just finished reading the Bob Iger book, which was, I can't remember the name, something about a ride. He was the ex-CEO of Disney. Mm-hmm. And I did the audiobook, which I loved. And there was a very incredible similarity between this experience I was going through and the book that I read. They had the same kind of tactics in leadership and in the way they talked and negotiated. And
to me,
it was great because I'm a knee-jerk reaction. I don't think before I speak or write. I'm usually very spontaneous with that.
Sometimes that's best though and genuine.
You don't want to just fake it and become someone totally different. Mm-hmm. You can, I think the formula is you stick to your guns, but you get the inspiration for what works from other examples that you get to hear and experience and participate in and hopefully make a better person out of you. You know?
Dude, that's really actually
that's
such
so cool.
a good
that's
point.
So cool.
How do you drive those meetings? How do you send those communications when times get like a little like, starting to get in the weeds or scope creep or like clients going down a different way? Like how do you soften that? How do you kind of like maintain that role of like, we're still driving this, you know, you hired us to do that.
Oh, and like, it's even more challenged because it's mostly virtual. And I remember in the agency days, it was challenging, but you, you got 18 times a minute to like, mm-hmm. you know, experiment and see how to do that with teams and everything. And now it's so challenging because of the virtual world. And that's where I think it even takes more pizzazz and gusto to figure it out. Oh yeah,
those decks gotta be totally
different. And we can all do that. It doesn't, you don't have to be the CEO to learn, you know, to take that and be like, how can I bring it into my world? It's just talking to a new client. It's explaining, it's being a little bit more. I had a client today, it was just trying to ask for this one change. And I kept saying, in my opinion, this is 100% wrong. It's going down the wrong way. You're going to waste money, whatever. And it was kept lingering. And I finally was like, what would that guy have said? And how would he have said it to just end this right now? You know, because it's like, we are just wasting time. Yeah. And again, how you do it, and it has to be your own version. But I think just knowing to even try that and be a little bit like experimental with how you are in these things, if you get a good experience, you're obviously checking it off and going, there's a, okay,
yeah, man.
Gold star. That totally. Worked. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of like checkpoints of like, oh, it's a very humbling career, I think.
Very humbling. But at times, like, you know how we're talking about bringing experiences we've learned from into other accounts to a level. Well, sometimes it feels like design, where you extrapolate some brainstormed ideas that are base level, and then cater it to the client and the brand framework of that particular account. Mm. Well, same with this. Mm-hmm. Like from our learned experiences, we bring up, they'll never know about that collab that I just shared with you guys. So with a different account, I can bring a level or a nuances of what I've learned or been exposed to from that different account into this one.
Yeah.
And if you're representing multiple accounts, how amazing is that to just spiderweb and crisscross as you'd like to? Yep.
Totally.
What's homework is tracking. You know what I was about to say? Have I shared with them what I think I haven't shared with them yet? And
like, oh yeah, you're right, because it's like it's wonderful to have all these great ideas and things that you want to share, but you're totally right. Tracking it, like, gosh,
the world of dating again.
Like, what has been exposed and what hasn't? Right? It's and then you don't want to be that person saying it for the third time.
Send the wrong invoice
and
to the wrong
client. They're gonna just roll their eyes. Oh, here she goes again.
I gotta tell you, I think the Slacks and the project management softwares are the key to that, because
totally.
I still
that's a very good point.
It's still a hard thing to explain to people. I was explaining to someone the other day that they just haven't got on that bandwagon, and I was very late to get on it too.
Yeah,
I was almost forced to get on it. But I think that's the number one advantage, is that the lineage to go back and see what has been communicated and what you have shared is so much more visual than the email trail. Oh my God!
Can't
use
the email trail. Well, and that's even the great example for this topic of like, you have to. Technology, you have to keep your thumb on the pulse. You know what I mean? And that's a great one of like, I know designers that do the, and I was one of them, you know, just a couple of years ago, until I, the same thing, got forced into Slack working with like agencies. But man, trying to live through emails and trying to live through like weird like calendar inputs and like sticky notes, which I still have scattered around. But like, you know, stuff drops pretty quickly on that regard. Or like you're just slower. Like what makes a good freelancer beyond the experience, beyond the talents? Like, their project management. Like, I can get back to my clients quick. You know, I'm quick to emails because I'm trying to be on top of like my scheduling, my my regulation of like how I operate, my process, which Slack is a big one. There's a lot of designers that don't use that, you know, or like, you know, I've hired a couple junior designers like that are older, but like they just kind of like curmudgeon, like, I Photoshop, like, you know, it takes me a while. They don't really use smart objects, which is like not that new of a tech for Photoshop, but like, dude, these programs are like, they're trying to get optimized for speed. Like, that's the name of the game. How fast can you do something? Yes, baseline, do it well. You're checking the boxes. But then the other half is like, you're a freelancer. Someone's paying you. Like, you should try to get it, you know. Me, I want to get everything done quickly. Dial, I'm not going to tell my client how fast I get it done. Yeah. But like, it's the only way I can keep things moving.
Totally.
Yeah, tech is the biggest.
It's like, huge. It's
and huge. Again, you could have all the desire and want to keep diving into it, but do you have the time?
Yeah.
Do you have the finances, let's call it, too? Like, let's say, how many more things do we need to, you know, have on a monthly basis?
Will it pay for itself?
Yeah. But I tell you, it's hard if you drop off, you know, and like, this is the way I do it in Photoshop. Yes. This is the way I do it in Illustrator. It's like, shit, it's hard to jump back after, you know, 10 updates, after a couple of years of not kind of keeping the thumb on the pulse. Like, you kind of get outdated in a lot of that stuff. And like, that's where I think you can.
Oh, that's really where videos and YouTube and there's so much. Whatever the new tactic or the new thing is that you're trying to learn or experiment with, just do the quick search for it, find it. Because I think you're right. Like this element is like, remember, Mikkel, every time we left Max, we were like, okay, this seems weird because like you said, Jordan, everything's wanting us to be faster, more proficient, quicker to the thing and getting that stage done faster. And it felt like a cheat. But then it's like, wait, this is my business. This is time. This is money. And if I could do better in a short amount of time because of a tool.
Yeah.
Holy.
Yeah. Like these aren't sexy words, you know, because like, so I think people just keep like design is art, but it's strategic functional art. It's a visual language. Like, I think we're creative people obviously, but like it has to be rooted in like a function. It has to like have a purpose. You're usually trying to like sell something or portray an image, you know, for another company. That is, their objective is to make money. So like it is that bait, and that's where like, you got to use these tools like to your advantage, and it takes a lot of effort to keep up on it. You know, I'm still learning stuff every day. Like how, you know, finding other creatives, how'd you do that? You know, that you did that way quicker than I did, or like yours is like, you know, a little bit differently. I just learned displacement mapping, never used that in Photoshop, and it's changed everything for me.
Oh, I've not used it.
Yeah. It's just great for like texturing stuff. It's phenomenal. It's a great little tool. And like, it's been around forever. And a lot of people, you know, use it for key art and stuff like that. I'm like,
dude, oh, yeah. Even like, what is it? The perspective grid.
Sure.
Using it in Photoshop to make your own mockups of it. I've just been like, you get one little exposure to it and you're like, I'm diving in. I got to figure this out. If it speaks to you, right? If it's something that's going to show.
If it's your process. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. An advantage there. What about when you guys are in, I think we're all in there because we haven't been on here for quite a while, but workload getting big, we are kicking it every job after job after job, right? We've got clients through the roof. Are you taking, and we're the biggest culprits of this, we're not out there putting the exposure. All three of us have suffered tremendously in posting more because I hate to say it, but I'm like, when I don't have to, I don't want to. We know that, right?
Yeah.
We all agree.
But, I'm with you.
But are we but think about it. It's like, you know, can you still find that time through that busy zone to still do a little exposure or a little outreach or something, right?
Yeah. So I feel like I can't contribute to this at all. I've taken a year off. From like interacting, like the last post I think was on September of last year.
Wow.
And it started just like, I was so busy. Like, I'll get to it. And then I had all these posts planned. I was like, I'll get to it. And then after a while, I was just like, I don't have fucking time. And it's not contributing to less work. But on the other hand, like I was able to, like a lot of work did come from like investing in that, you know, Instagram, you know, is where that focus lies and it's changing. And like, I'm not really on board with like artists and people like us having to be like, talking heads. I think like, I just think it's tough if you don't want to do that. It sucks that like the algorithm's forcing that right now.
Too much.
Yeah. And, but people who are good at it are like killing it. You know, but like, Nick, I look at you and you're great.
It serves a purpose for these individuals. And it's actually kind of a shot to the gut. Like they didn't go to school for this and they're getting a request that I am right now.
Yeah.
And what they have to show for is their beautiful IG account. That's it. I have nieces and nephews that are on their way to college this year, and they're getting projects.
Yeah.
Because they've watched a shit ton of YouTube videos. They know how to work the tools.
Yep.
And they're getting requests.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're asking me what their billable rate should be. And it's so hard not to say, what? I have no advice for you right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's a great point. Cause I didn't even think about some students that are doing the exact same thing.
Oh yeah.
And they're getting it. And yes,
they're getting requests.
The experience is what they don't have. And they need to
know. Think about it, these accounts don't have to seek the talent overseas. They can find it right here in their backyard with young talent that are keying in to technology big time.
And this is, this is, again, like, I look at as a check on myself, like, okay, I'm getting a little out of touch with, like, I know that reels and stories and video, quick video, short video content is the future. I'm shaking my cane on that grass, and which is problematic for me when businesses come, they want to talk about marketing strategies. I'm like, shit, man, I don't, you know, I have a little thumb on that pole still, but, like, I'm definitely letting that start to slip, you know, but I think that's okay. Cause eventually, like, I want to be an expert in, like, not marketing anymore. Like, I like having my thumb on the pulse, but, like, it's something I'm feeling okay letting go. Cause I like development over kind of,
well,
like,
you're finding your niche and you're comfortable and it's, you're getting work for it. And that's beautiful.
And just learning I'm not passionate about that. So, like, I shouldn't be the right person they should hire.
You're not forced to being that unicorn like you had been.
Yeah.
Well, let's also remember, like, I was really struggling with that a while ago because I was like, whoa, there's been a lot of everything I see from the people that I follow. Everyone's talking exactly what you're saying is, like, the algorithms and everything want you to promote and do all these things that are video and whatever. And when I saw, I think Matt or someone else wrote it, that it's like when it's making people feel like they need to become almost celebrities to have the persona that has to be there as a talking head, that's where the disconnect got weird for me. I was like, I was like, wow, we're already doing little things here and there with, like, we do the podcast or we do other things. I always felt like I love where I'm at with that. And I don't want to go any further. Then you have to go, like, but let's look at the hundreds, if not more, that are at the top of their game that don't contribute to that in any way on a daily basis. Right. It's and then the ones that aren't even on social media that are just killing it.
Yeah, man. And, I think you get to that place, right? Like, I thank fucking God that we got in, at least when I started, like, with the social media and Instagram, it was really just focused on, like, cool so art raw. That you're kind of, and even Dribbble, early Dribbble, like, progress pics, like, all these little things are, like, and I feel like it's kind of grandfathered in. I look at the people who can, like, get to that place, they're not getting work from Instagram, you know, and that's kind of where, like, I ended up, like, most of my work is not coming from Instagram. It ended up just being, like, I didn't like the demo that was kind of reaching out and, like, trying to find projects, so I just, like, I found, you know, I could find work outside of that. And then it just started, like, not having the time, drifting away.
Yeah, but
I still think it's, like, pretty critical to, like, understand how it works. Because, again, if you're working, like, a business to business, if you're kind of helping them with a brand, they're going to need some semblance of, like, a plan, you know, even on the most basic form, if they don't have the budget for, like, a marketing strategist and stuff.
Yeah.
Which, it's a double-edged sword, man. It's tough.
It is.
But there's other ways. I think we've talked about them, too. Like, social should not be the only way we could go out and find new business or these new courses for exposure, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's so many other, and maybe, like, that's our downfall, is that we think it's only in that world that it has to come from a social media post and a presence and everything. I'm more of a fan of the cold call or the going after a business, a dream thing, and just making that connection.
Word of mouth. That's, I mean, the best clients come from networking. Always huge. Yeah.
So there's other ways. And then your back, your history, your reputation, your website, everything will show you as a solid contender, you know? Mm-hmm. But I think that might be my way around this one, is that I think I'd rather invest in those other ways, because social has never been a draw for new business for me. Mm-hmm. I think it's credibility. It might be people will look and go, like, before calling me back or whatever, and it's like a check mark on their qualification.
That's probably it. Their work is substantiated here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And maybe it's old school to like, you know, because you're right. I keep hearing people saying, like, Instagram is my portfolio. And I'm like, I will never agree on that. It's a supplement to it, but, you know, it's a fixed frame system that cannot be changed to be a selling tool the way you can with
your website ought to be,
and your credentials and a beautiful email with a you know, custom made PDF.
Yeah. It just feels like it's asking too much of creatives to, like, you can't just, like, post stuff anymore. It's like, you know, you have to be directly involved all the time and you have to like marketing manage and strategy your own stuff, which you do, but, like, God, not a full time job. Not like the extent of, I think, where it's starting to ask. And I think the people that, like, I don't want to be the Chris Doe. I'm glad those people are out there, and I'm glad, like, that's feeling a niche, but I don't want to be that. Like, yes. I no. have no interest in...
No, like, it really works for some individuals. And it feels like, by and large, it's for the younger demographic.
Yes.
And that 100. Does matter. That does matter. And that's worth observing.
That's going to be our competition. It slowly is, right?
Like, for sure. For this sure. Is like that that's why I did back. This earlier.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Well, they're much more challenged. School is insanely expensive.
Yeah.
Right? They're becoming self-taught. And they're doing this much earlier than past generations that were self-taught too. So it's kind of like they're coming out of high school and they're like rock stars on Photoshop. You know, it's
right.
like,
right.
That's awesome. So mm-hmm. I agree. Like, you're right. There's a person for everyone. And a lot of that does cater to the younger group. But I don't know. It's like, I think my advice would be look at where your business is coming from and let that be the thing that you really concentrate on and strengthen even more so.
You know? I like that. I like totally. That. I think that's really good advice. What Jordan was saying earlier about how long it's, you know, September last year, he thinks is when his last post had been. Mm-hmm. Mine was further back than that. Mm-hmm. But isn't it a internal fight that you have with yourself? Because I would have this calendar event that would remind me every Saturday, like, make time, do it. You're not working as hard Monday through Friday right now. Make time to capture this latest portfolio item. And it just never took place. Mm-hmm. Family can always be an excuse. It was for me, but there will always be, if I didn't have one, there would be another one, right?
Yeah, totally.
Shit gets busy.
Yep.
So it's not until you decide for yourself, I'm not going to be active anymore. It's just not going to work. Mm-hmm. That you just don't feel that stress on your shoulders, right?
Oh, it's been
holy it's been cow! Great.
And like, I'm not gonna like stand on my post and be like, "Don't you?" Like, I'm still on Instagram like every fucking day. Like,
oh,
I'm still
okay. problematically but it, the but it problem. Is a different I'm just not nuance of pressure to publish.
Yeah, like it's I different. Yeah, instead of spending like 2 hours a day on it now, it's probably 10 minutes, and that's it. And okay. I feel good about it. I check in like I don't know in an evening, see what the buds are up to, maybe a couple DMs from friends, and that's it. I'm out, and it feels.
Good
awesome.
For you.
Yeah.
For me, it had to be all or nothing. It was getting toxic.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. I like the balance. It's easy to get I think absorbed. Taking it back a little bit, watch more, contribute less, I guess.
Yes.
Is maybe
yes.
where we're at with it. But then again, it's all other designers that we are connected to there. And it's kind of like, you know, unless you are making a thing 100% to gravitate to new clients, and I think that would be in other formats of maybe YouTube and Twitter would probably be better avenues to do that than Instagram.
I agree with that.
To me, it's still just a fun thing, and it's like it's still got that addictive quality. But I just think there's other ways to do it, and look what works best.
But talk
for
about
you.
Pressure. Let's say we were real estate agents, real Ooh. Estate brokers.
Yeah,
it's all about that for them.
Yeah,
or they just have like to the be marketing. On top of it.
Like you have to. Like, I think you can get away with that outside of like design and brand building, even though it is integrated. But like, it's or just starting out. It is like God. Like again, I and this is my own perspective, but I did use social media pretty heavily when I started out. It's just like an easy place. Like I can quickly update stuff. My website takes time. I'll have like my core stuff on there. But, you know, it was nice getting those first kind of jobs coming through and people wanting to pay you. Not enough, but still something for a logo.
Yeah,
like, it gave you a book too. It gave you a, right?
Totally. It gave me work that it wasn't just like kind of faux stuff, fantasy work. It's like, this is working shit that is. Mm-hmm. But now, I don't know. I don't think I could do it now. You know, it's just, it takes, I think, just way too much time.
Yeah, interesting how time shifts and things change.
Do you guys think the break of social media or the break you're taking makes it harder to go back into it too? Like, right, we keep saying like, I'd love to, but to me, I feel like it would be really calculated if I made a big push.
Yeah, I admit I'm apprehensive about judgment. Well, what's she tapping into now? For
yeah,
all of a sudden?
Totally.
Because I'll be honest with you, I'm seeing that in people, and it's like, whoa, all of a sudden. You're here and boom.
Yeah, like, it's been a while. Nice to see everyone. It's like, come on, fuck
and
you.
Yeah. And about my journey, I've learned a lot, like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I think challenge yourself for better marketing for yourself, I think, would be the best way to do it too. But
But it is. I just feel like, you know, now I'm in my mid-30s. I'm like getting to this place where like, okay, we're the transition. Now there's younger competition that are like, have their thumb on different poles. Where do I gauge? And this coming back to that topic of like, it's that check, that humbling, okay, maybe I don't need to specialize in that. Like, you know, maybe 5 years ago, I was like,
yeah,
marketing, I'm into it. Like, it's an easy sell for clients. You start to use all these like hype words, but I don't want to keep grabbing onto that. Maybe because I don't need to. Maybe that's like a nice spot. I think you get older.
I've always been worried about aging in this industry space.
Yeah, it's heavily tech influenced. That's typically a younger person's like.
Isn't it refreshing to collab with like a copywriter that's in her 60s or 70s?
Yeah.
Isn't it so cool?
Yeah. Or like an illustrator or.
I know.
Yeah.
Or even at this strategy group out of Grand Rapids. Mm-hmm. He's got like 20-year-old children. He's still got it. He's so on top of it. It's like, oh, thank
remember
God.
Bert? Remember our buddy Bert Monroy? Yeah. I mean,
the best photoshopping artist in the world.
I was drooling over his studio. He had the best studio I'd ever seen. I was like,
but that's not
like tech everything.
I don't know I didn't get a grasp for how tech savvy he was.
I think it took him longer than it would.
Is he comfortable with his tools?
Yeah, if he was up to date, I think he could do those paintings. Well, shit, I don't know. This is such a
it has a look and feel to it. So like isn't that quicker. Interesting? We were all thinking about this. That's so funny.
Yeah.
I just remember he had like this, he had a big Cintiq. He had like, in his office looked like, you know, the creator director dude at some great little agency.
But
I just love that there was still that passion and that and everything in there too.
Yeah.
You know what? And here we are talking like the only thing I feel like in tech that we're falling behind on is the social push. Whereas everything else, there's an open door to it because it's that good for us, right? Yeah. The tools and the apps and the you know, even your point here, Mikkel, about when a file comes or something like that, and it's way beyond something you've touched or your exposure to, like, you know, do you dive right into it and find and figure it out, or do you just be humble and say, help me?
I said AI file, but isn't it scary when you get all of these like notices in Photoshop when you open up another designer's file and like you're saying, oh, just quickly install this and you can see everything. I'm like, fuck, I didn't even know about that.
Exactly. What is this plugin? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But where that's a natural exposure and you're getting it from it because you could be closed off. I remember working with people in my first few jobs that didn't even want to, you know, they didn't welcome anything new that came. They were still trying to stick to traditional routes. And look, we're knee deep in this. It's like the speed of the technology is just so fast. So like, to me, I'm a big fan of like when there is a challenge with a file or something else, like I want to learn about it so fast because it's like, it's again, like you said, Mikkel, it's like a missing component.
What makes you more money? It gives you time
for sure.
And that gives you money. Like as a freelancer, I'm fucking, that's like, if I can get something done to the same level quicker, even if it's like a minute quicker, like that's incredible. That's incredible.
Oh, how many times have we talked about too? Like, I know from like, talking with Jordan and a few of our other friends, when we're building something on the cans and it's that white layer and the things that you got to do underneath all the four color art and everything and figuring that out. And once I found the right tools by asking the right people, how do I make the layer, you know, how do I invert and revert and do all these things to the things to make it knock out? You know, you talk to separators that work with silk screening and everything else, taking illustrators and turning it that people who are pattern makers. How do you make that seamless pattern, whatever?
It's amazing.
Dive deep in it. And next thing you know, it is your second nature and you're showing someone the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like my goal is to show someone a trick in Photoshop that they do not know because Photoshop is my weakest
app. Wonderful. Dude, it's the
best. Like I said, I just learned displacement mapping and I've been telling everyone about it because like no one really. Most print designers like myself and illustrators, like they don't use Photoshop a lot. I'm using it more with just agency stuff, but like, yeah, I'm telling everyone about that shit. Confident.
That's super cool. Like,
I just learned it 2 weeks ago.
But. Or how about this? How about this? Working with another designer who niches in any arena. Let's just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to even make anything up. And like, I'm not, it would be a disgrace and disrespectful to him or her in a meeting with the client to make it sound as though you're responsible for it. So I give up, just so you know, this gal here, introduction. This is under MKM, but she's at PowerPlay. Meet the guru behind this project. And admitting, because you don't have to bend over backwards to obtain the project, this account happens to trust you as a consultant. So that's wonderful. But why not just be transparent and and honest about the relationship and let the account know, the C-level individuals of this account know that I know where I excel and I sought the perfect individual to support this component of this project for you.
Well, there's that's where she or he excels. Value in that. Like, as a customer.
I hope so. I wonder about it, though. No, but I look at,
like, agencies are the best example because, again, like, okay, they're working with the biggest clients. I think their process is driven by, like, sales and work. So, like, what they do, like, I think is a good model of, like, what can translate to smaller individuals or studios. And they don't claim to have every answer. Like, you know, working with them now on some projects, they're hiring illustrators all the time to do stuff with the client. Client doesn't ever have to interact with them. They're hiring the studio for some, for a deliverable, for something.
It's so behind the scenes, right?
Yeah, but like that position, I think you feels like you've done this and you found this ground where, like, yeah, you don't need to be the single engine, you know? There is so much value still in being able to have these sort of webs, these people that you can bring into that are still going to give them the best product. They're still going to, like, what's the objectives? Make more money, you know, as a business. Like,
and the win-win is that those team members really respect you for being that transparent about them.
Yeah. Because if someone ever did it for you,
that's a
memory burn right there.
You're totally right.
Yeah.
Like, my buddy is a recruiting person. I don't know the name of the position of career, but, like, he essentially, people hire him to go find employees.
Like, that's a position.
Yeah. Wow. I guess they hire. But, like, for, like, larger companies, sure, but, like, it's still positioned. Like, there's tremendous value in, like, I know the type of person you need to get this job done, you know? And you as the brand, as the company, as your business, you can totally bring that in. And that's something, like, I'm slowly trying to realize. Like, yeah, I don't need – I can let stuff go because I can always find someone who can do it better than me and still bring them on to, like, the project that's
cool.
run by me.
It's like an ego. I think it's an ego thing in a lot
totally
of ways.
It's the humble, man.
Because I remember when you didn't
it's all
have
around
the,
us.
You didn't have a strong enough – conscious to kind of, like, let someone else get credit for something or something, and it was like this thing you still need. I need to be attached to this in some way for credit. And it's so funny. I think you're right. It's all about exposure, experience. And if someone did that for you one day and said, like, hey, I can't take any credit here, Nick was the driving force behind this web, and you're like, whoa, did someone just do that for me? Like, that's huge, I think in a lot of ways. And that trickle down kind of, that's what is I'm very fearful about the more virtual and the more kind of remote working situations are younger workers and whatever not getting that, like, in-person kind of, like, thing. I hope it's still happening, you know, because it takes an environment where you're all in for those kinds of things to happen. So, you know, I hope it's still nurturing that in the online remote kind of world.
Yeah.
But I think that's a great point because you look like a better leader. You also look like a better project manager, and you're more in tune with the process, the saving time, the saving money by bringing in a pro that will not need a learning curve.
Yeah.
You know, like, right? Like somebody else would on that didn't know that particular, you know, that particular skill.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I think a lot of industries kind of do that, right? Like, my dad's a general contractor, and it's like, he doesn't build the house. Like, people pay him, here's the lump sum, get this house built, and then he's going to bring in this team. Like, that that happens all the time in many different industries. And I think when you kind of, like, keep growing as a designer and you start wanting to get into, like, this, you know, either freelance or, like, running a business in some semblance, like, that's going to have to play a role because there's just no way to do it all. Or, again, keeping your thumb on the pulse enough on every facet of, like, what that looks like.
Yeah. I think overall, like, what's the best kind of advice in this world? It's almost like, I like what you said earlier, Mikkel, that you had that monthly or weekly reminder in your calendar for the social thing. I'm not saying that's the answer. I think the answer is to remind yourself of these things. Like, maybe that once a week reminder that's like, is there anything you've been seeing all week that you want to dive into that you did not you know, like, because sometimes I think you just need that reminder to be like, oh, wow, you're right. I have seen this come across my day time and time again. Maybe I should go to that webinar. Maybe I should fly to that conference, you know, or maybe I should collaborate more. Like, it's just daily reminders because we can get so caught in this, you know, craziness that we're not thinking. That's not a proactive thing we're naturally thinking.
Totally. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like – I feel like the best advice I could give to anyone in who might be following the same footsteps or like interested in the same regard, it's like, one, no one falls into this gig really. It's like, it's a passion driven career. And so like you, you know, it's like not someone like, you know, my father was, it's like most people like, it's because it's, there's something they're obsessed with and do for free on their spare time outside of like maybe a different job. Like we all probably did, but like, I would say like, yeah, if you could just feed that curiosity, because it never stops. The whole point of this topic is like, no, there is no cap. You'll never figure it out. There is no like, how do you do this? It changes all the time. The way I get clients now is different than a year ago, is different than 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So like, you just have to wanna, you're gonna have to like, whatever makes you curious enough to do it, like you're on the right track. You'll figure it out. But it's gonna humble you for for sure. You know, the whole industry is like, you gotta be, you know, pretty in tune, at least in like a lot of self-divulging.
I also think you got to just list out the times where you did do it and what advantage came your way. Mm. I know coming back from the Crop conference a few months ago, that was the first one back in so long. I was like, that feeling, that excitement I had to go back into my work the next day, it was contagious. Everyone had it, you know? And again, it's like, okay, so make that something to remember, that when you do go to these things or when you do push the limit a little bit, what comes back to you, I think, is always so beneficial to your, it might just be your enthusiasm, it might just be your enjoyment of the game, it just might be financially, whatever it is, there's always an advantage. You know? I'm looking forward to more. I know. And our next, we've never been in person together, all three. That's crazy. So
no, not yet.
There's our hope and dreams for next year.
Yeah, man. Dude, big time.
You're gonna have to come to Great American Beer Fest, Mikkel.
That's what we'll do. Good gathering spot.
If there's one event,
yeah,
every
beer in America.
Well, this has been great. I love this conversation. To me, it's making me think a lot too for the weekend ahead and just. What else you can do, right?
It's nice finding those topics that are like, I'm in this right now. This is always at like the top of my head, you know, transitioning and like, you know, don't assume you're solid. I like that.
Yeah. There's always more to learn. I hate to say it.
It's intimidating, but a good thing.
Yeah.
It is.
That's
true.
Well, thanks for such a great idea. This was a good little thought starter for us to kind of have a great conversation with today, Mikkel. That was really cool. And again, we're looking for ideas, guys. So if you have a great topic, please send it our way. We're looking to really refresh and get you some new content, some new things. Just like we talked about now, if there's something new we haven't covered, let us know. We'd love to turn it into a really great thing and maybe even bring you on for it. So whatever.
Hell yeah.
Whatever we can do.
That's awesome. Right? Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you guys next time. Bye, y'all.